cliffcentral.com. Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, transforming towards an empowered society. Always a pleasure to be with you. I'm Adrian Groenewald, and with me, Louis Groenewald, the old man. And it's all about leadership. This is our leadership masterclass for the next hour. Thank you for joining us. It's all about leadership for us, and more particularly, authentic leadership. A reminder for all things leadership, go to leadershipplatform.com. One word, two P's in the middle. All right, our leadership masterclass, the first half hour, is with, I'm going to call him an award-winning CFO of Discovery Health, Brett Tromp. He's with us in the studio. Brett, welcome.
Ah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to at last meet you and to sit with you for the next half, well, hour, but the first half hour is just discussing authentic leadership as you see it. And in essence, for those of you who don't know yet, we could really say, for all intents and purposes, Brett is going to give us a master lesson on authentic leadership. But it's eight principles or points that he's going to share with us, and we'll discuss it and debate it for a few minutes each, all about understanding leadership from his perspective. So, Brett, and then the second half hour, of course, we interview you a little bit more about you, about your life, about your why you are who you are, why you are Mr. Energy, and where does it come from, your values. So I'm excited about that conversation as well.
Thank you.
All right. The first, I'm going to call it this principle of authentic leadership that you shared with me and that you're going to give us more insight into is promoting positive leadership more than negative leadership. You've got a different terminology for it, perhaps, but it's an emphasis on the positive. Take us through that one for a second.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks again for having me, and hopefully we can our listeners can learn something today. I mean, for me personally, leadership has always been an integral part of who I am, and that's because I care deeply for people and take the responsibility of leading very seriously. And I understand that people come to work and this is their 8 or 10 hours that they have a day. And part of my job as a leader is to empower them and also make them enjoy coming to work and doing it. So for me, it's always been about having that positive attitude. I've never grown up with the mindset that you can't, but humbly recognizing my limitations. So leadership is not an arrogance, but it's a confidence. And so when I say positive, you're confident, and you look for strengths in people. You look for the positiveness in situations. You look at growing your business and growing people. So for me, it's all about that.
Okay. Louis? That first principle, promoting positive leadership more than negative leadership. We look at negative leadership a lot, don't we? Mm. And that sets almost a subconscious standard that's how leadership takes place.
Exactly.
And then maybe subconsciously, a lot of leaders in our society adopt negative leadership practices, especially when you look around you and you feel like it's being rewarded. So I'll use the word subconsciously again.
Yeah.
It becomes part of your repertoire, part of your approach of leading.
To confirm that, Adrian, in Brett's little article he wrote about this subject, he says, far too often we look at poor leaders and poor leadership, and then it becomes easier to justify behaving this way ourselves. Yes. I don't think everybody realizes the implications of that. And this is a danger of looking towards negative feedbacks all the time. You start not only becoming negative, but to justify your own negative actions.
Absolutely. And I think, specifically, well, anywhere around the world, but specifically South Africans at the moment, when you talk to most South Africans, the conversation generally lends in a negative way. There's negative leadership from the top, negative this and negative that. And that just doesn't feel right for me. So you really want to be able to inspire hope. And, authentic leadership to me is that hopefulness. And it's not this unthought out and cheesy, everything's going to be all right. It's a real dedicated hope to give the people. And that's what's important to me, is that people are just seeing negative leadership all around. And, there's actually a lot of good leadership, but people need to speak up about it.
Our society is definitely more geared towards bad news. All right, that just gives more responsibility, or places more responsibility on the leader's shoulders to swing that around and to bring more positivity into the environment.
Absolutely.
The next principle you share with the listeners today is manage others as you would like to be managed.
Yeah.
It's a universal principle that that I like and that is so super difficult.
Yeah.
Take us through that one.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, like I mentioned earlier, is a lot of the happiness of our employees depends on the people they work for. And I've seen it over and over again. You often lose good people under bad leadership, and you mainly retain great people, even for lower salaries or for less growth opportunities to remain with a great leader. So for me, it's I always put myself in the other person's shoes, and that's what, you know, makes leadership exciting. It's not one size fits all. So when you manage different people, you've got different styles and different, and you have to understand your people, and you have to understand what makes them work best. And some, for example, work better with flexible hours, ability to work more from home than at work, and some don't. So it's always putting yourself in. If I was there, how would I like to be managed? What brings out the best in me? And that's what's important for me. And I think what people don't understand is that leadership is very, very rewarding, but it is very time consuming. It takes effort. You've got to come with a proper plan and action. And it's not just wake up one morning and you're a leader. It's thought out. It's learning. It's continuously growing. And that's what I love. And it's so rewarding when you see your people flourish and you see the business do well. Mm. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
But manage them as you would like to be managed, or lead them as you would like to be led. Treat them the way you would like to be treated 100%. Yourself. It's a universal, almost Christian principle as well. Yeah. Louis, comments on that one quickly?
I think, Arden, it's also very authentic. In other words, exactly how you'd like to be treated. You treat other people. There's something simple about that, and yet there's a greatness of soul to it as well.
Exactly. I agree 100%. And it's always worked for me. It's always, what leaders don't realize often is this little bit of extra effort you put in reaps the rewards. Just the extra input from your team, productivity.
Maybe that's loyalty. Real leadership. Real leadership goes into that extra domain. You can do your job. You can manage very well. You can lead pretty okay as well. But when you go into that extra, and today is what you're sharing with us, your formula for that little bit extra. The third one you've got that to you would probably describe authentic leadership best is spearheading societal change.
Yeah.
Explain that one for us just a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't mix my personal morals and leadership with the business that I come into. So I always believe you've got to be who you are as a person. So I have certain values and morals, and those stem predominantly from my Christian beliefs. So, and part of that is, you know, a lot of that belief is about serving others. So there's a lot of serving in my leadership style. And as a company at Discovery, we don't believe that you'll be successful without that sort of ability to uplift society. And it's not it's not just the usual corporate social responsibility where you go and build a few houses or build. It's actually like, what do you do in society? Is your product, services, and what you're doing, is it uplifting society? So in our case, you know, our ambition and our vision is to make people healthier, and that will prolong their lives and increase society. So it has a real societal benefit. And if they do that, how do we share some of our profits with us through our shared value model and all the gadgets we have? And for me, society that we live in, if we neglect society, and we've seen that all along, you just can't flourish. And as a leader, you know, the worst type of leadership is self-centered leadership. So you've got to be able to see the bigger benefit and sow what you've learned and grow the communities around you.
Isn't it so that as a society, because we're so interconnected, social media and many other elements to this point that I'm making, we're so interconnected that we cannot neglect society anymore. No. We never should have and no. We never could have.
Yeah.
But right now, the mining community, all of us,
yeah,
we're totally, that whole being comes to work.
Yeah.
we now realize that being is connected with home and issues and Absolutely. Challenges at home, personal health issues.
Absolutely.
That being has an emotion and a heart and a yeah. brain and hands and everything.
Yeah.
Communities play a big role. So spearheading societal change, bringing purpose and yeah. passion and a real strong, authentic motive into the business yeah. environment.
Arden, just to quote Brett, Brett, you were quoting Dr. Robert Kerr, who spoke, leadership is important because good leaders from all walks of life are the ones who ensure there's alternative vision to the status quo. And then, of course, their job is to bring that about. Then later on, you say, now you might ask, how would anyone change their purpose without being inspired, convinced, and motivated to do so? Yeah. So telling somebody to change, commanding somebody to tell, forcing somebody to change just won't do it. No. So obviously leadership is about having that inspirational quality in oneself.
Absolutely. And you know, actions speak louder than words. And that's, I think, what authentic. So, you know, I believe in societal change. I don't only believe that, I need to go and do it. So we very involved in the societies and the underprivileged. And we've started two play groups or underprivileged preschools. And so you've got to go and show what you preach. A leader can say a lot of things. You hear a lot of things. But you don't often see it backed up with words. And that's what the people are really looking for. For me, you know, authentic leadership is your actions match what you say.
Yeah. Brett, we have a serious challenge in our yeah. tremendous society about so many hosts on shows speak a lot about that, but I have an idea that the actions don't necessarily follow it, you
100%,
know?
100%.
Yeah, I must say, I recently wrote an article that refers to an up-and-coming leadership revolution. It's not new to us, but I think it's escalating, and one of the triggers to this is definitely leaders whose, I don't know, their actions do not match their actual yeah. behavior, or the preaching and the actions don't match. They're not congruent. Yeah. And we've seen that too much promises made to the marketplace by corporate leaders yeah. or politicians who make huge promises. Yeah. And now that society is more empowered, and they have access to social media, and there's a voice and a platform from which to shout. We're starting to call leaders to task.
Exactly.
And the masses are realizing we can.
Absolutely.
So a very different ball game, and therefore spearheading societal change. I think that's yeah. the principle, yeah. The next one you bring into the conversation is a mind shift for success.
Mm.
And this is maybe not what someone might think on face value, but the principle that I attach to that you write about is treat the company as your own. Mm-hmm. And this is one that I always find challenging, especially an entrepreneur starts a business mm-hmm. that is his or her own mm-hmm. business and then expects everyone else who works for him to feel the same.
Yeah.
Not an easy, shall we say, mind shift to make.
Yeah.
I'm an employee. I come to corporates like Discovery and others, and I see people walk in and out, mm. and I think, how do they feel about this business? Do they feel like it's their own or not?
Mm.
Can you replicate ownership when it's not really yours? But you really believe in this principle.
Yeah.
And you feel like you've made that breakthrough as a leader where you honestly feel, this is my business.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the most important things for me that I personally seen the change in my own performance when I got this, because someone said to me, it was one of the CEOs, it was actually my CEO, I said to him, I asked him a question about how do you make quick decisions, and he said, you know, when you refer to your kids, you how do you make decisions with your kids? You make a decision and you stick with it, and I started thinking that, you know, I never have to wake up and think about decisions I make for my kids. Everything I make for my children is in the best interest. Sometimes I get it right, sometimes I get it wrong, but I don't wake up and go, today I hope to make the right decision for my three kids.
I hope that I can feel like these are my kids.
Yes, I hope they feel. And so I realized, you know what, if I start changing and training my mind to come to work every day and know that this is my business, I will think differently. I'll make better decisions. So it's not that it was easy to do, but when I started changing my mindset to, this is my business. This isn't Adrian Gore's or Barry Swartzberg or the shareholders. This is my business. And I kept telling myself that when I come here, you don't cheat time. You don't to cut corners. You do. Your mind is different. It just thinks differently. So it was a mindset change for me. And you know, for me, that's the most important principle I teach to people. That I say, if you want to succeed in this, get your mind right to that. It just works so well, because every decision you make is for the best interest of the business. And it's not about getting everyone right. It's about trying your best. But your mind is thinking differently. Hey, you know, taking a coffee cup home or something, like, you just don't do that stuff that people would do because this is yours. And it just changes the way you think about it.
Simple principle, isn't it? But extremely powerful. Maybe there are some leaders who believe that they do feel like it's their business, but maybe that they haven't accessed that real high level yet.
Exactly.
Want to add, Louis?
I love the principle of, because it is a mind shift change, yeah, from the feeling that position is that which I can touch to something else completely and vastly more significant. I think of a great friend I had, a Jewish lawyer, very dynamic, but Brett, he had this ability that whenever he shared idea with him, the next day he walks around as if it's his own idea. People resented that, but the fact is, he took ownership of all that was good and positive around him. He may have expressed it better, but this, he took possession of it, because ideas, you know, don't belong to anybody in that sense. So I'm just saying, the idea that it's a mind shift, it really is. Yeah. You're quite a ganger, at least you're right. It's simply human nature to treat what we feel is a part of us or what belongs to us better than things we don't feel accountable for.
Exactly.
A great truth to that.
No, exactly. And that is just the human nature. It's amazing. So take, for example, most people's cars. They really look after it. But then you see when they cop into a rental car and treat it like a go-kart or it's a 4x4. It's just a mindset of teaching people's thinking differently when it's your own. So it's just, well, for me, it was just that ability to do that, and then that would assist in how I performed at work, and it made a huge difference. So when I look for people and I try and train people, I say, get this thought right and your career will flourish. So
yeah, it's I remember a gentleman we had on the show from the US, James Ritchie, who retired at the age of, I think, 35 with like 27 businesses, and kind of did a lot of things with his life. But the principle, I hope it doesn't escape my mind now, but it was something to the effect of, whatever you create and love.
Yeah.
What was the principle? Whatever you create and love. I mean, he came up with the same concept. You just totally treat it differently.
Absolutely.
And It'll come to my mind now, the exact principle. But that changed my life.
Yeah.
Just realizing that. And then you realize, hold on, your children.
Yeah.
You're part of their creation. How do you feel about them?
Exactly.
So you've got to let people feel like they're helping create their business.
100%.
And then they will treat it with a
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. It's almost impossible then to fail at work, because your whole mindset is about trying to do the best in what you're doing.
The next principle that you describe authentic leadership best is inspire individually. I like this one a lot. I feel leadership in the end comes down to the individual. A friend of mine who lives in South America had a master's degree in organizational development, Alfonso Lopez. I'll never forget, he shared with me the duck principle. Every human being is different, unique, and complex. Call it the duck principle. And if you believe in that, then you'll realize, hold on, I can't just lead groups. Somewhere I've got to zoom in on individuals. But take us on a journey with this principle from how you see it. Inspire individually.
Yeah. So, I mean, also very important. You know, for me, leadership is not a global thing. I think the best performance that I've got out of people is being able to meet them on that individual level. And I found that trying to have programs that globally inspire, they do work at some degree, but I've found that to really get performance out of people, you've got to get down into the individual detail and who they are. So for me, it's all about that specific time. And it's, you know, for me, leadership, it doesn't need to take hours and hours of your time. You've just got to understand what makes people tick. And I generally try, in the first 5 minutes I'm with someone, You know, a question you can ask someone, which generally gets an answer, is how are you sleeping at night? And it's a very simple question, but people then, and you get all sorts of answers. I'm not sleeping well because of this, or I am sleeping well because life's going well, or and that then triggers where people are at. And I always try and find where they're at personally before I ask them about work, because so much of their personal life spills into work. And I think a lot of leaders at work just bypass that. They think that they're not interrelated, so they forget to ask that. So I always start with that part. So how are you sleeping? Kids. And you get good information. Then you work through a bit through that, and then you start finding, okay, then you start to see what makes these people tick. Mm. Because generally what stresses people out is the stuff that makes them tick. It might be family, it might be studying, it might be, and then you work off that, and then you start inspiring them at where they are there. And what I found generally with this inspiration at an individual level is people just want to be heard and they want support. And if you give them those two things, it's just amazing what they get. People just want to be acknowledged and recognized. Like you said, like looking at all these people coming in and out, you know, how many of us, when we started our degree and the big boss walked past and never greeted us, all we wanted was him to go, hey, I just acknowledge you. And that changes everything. So that's where I start. And you know, it brings such rewards down the line.
Inspire individually.
I think, Brett, the old style leadership is that you build kind of barriers. You start off working with the public, then you end off as far away from them as possible and from your staff. Remember this one friend of ours who died recently from cancer, great leader in Nestle as well, international leader, and he walked into his offices locally and he decided nobody could get to him, and he changed the whole setup, immediately showing his mindset of not afraid to have contact with people. Yeah. And what a great leader he was.
Yeah, it's just so important for people. I don't know. So, you know, in my office, we've got glass offices. I don't put this like shading on it, so people can see it. And as distractive as it is sometimes, people always can come in. And it seems counterintuitive that you're getting distracted, but you're getting so much more out of people. One good conversation, one inspiration, one thank you. And you know, for me, it's also a lot about recognizing. So if someone's done something well, just, I love to send the woman, for example, flowers. It's like you don't reward in the program. Be different, be unique.
Well, those offices also ensure, I guess, that you don't attack someone or shout excessively or aggressive body language. I like the next point. You say motivate through the middle, and I know what it means, but you tell us what it means. It's a powerful principle.
Perfect. So you know, I realized with many of the projects, and it was just a very simple principle, which I think I used in that article, was about running a race and you're watching people take off from the finish line. So I do quite a bit of road running, and I know in the beginning it's like a mad rush, and even the walkers are trying to push away and everybody just bursts off. So there's a lot of energy and excitement as people hear the gun and head off. And then you get, let's say it's a 21K, and about 10Ks into the race, and now the people are walking and shaking their heads, and there's a bit of despondency. And then you get towards the last 2Ks, and suddenly there's all this energy to finish. And it's exactly how it is at work, is that people get given something, and it's relative to the starting point. So they start off quickly and go, and then, you know, often leaders just leave them, and they get very demotivated during the middle, and it's not working out as it is. And then you'll see performance pick up just before you go live, or the project's about to get to an end, or you're about to go and leave. So it's very much about looking at leadership at all stages of a project, a development, or whatever it is, but traditionally in the middle. And you'll see it, and you'll see it at the beginning of the year. You'll see it in any phase of life. The beginning of the year, everyone's excited. Then from June, July, August, it just starts to lull. Then suddenly November, and you ask anybody how they're doing, and they're like, I can't wait until December holidays. And so that's how we are as human nature.
It's a good principle. If we look at a rugby match, a soccer match, any team sports, there's always the middle where the coach pulls them into the room and gives them this pep talk.
Yeah.
So I guess we could learn from that.
Yeah.
You know, that's inspiring them in the middle. So that's a good principle. Louis, I don't know if you want to add. I think it's about being tuned in enough to know that this individual is now in the middle of this project.
Exactly.
So they started with a bang. I've got to lift them again, you know, so that they can be inspired and motivated 100%. During the middle period of this whole process.
Exactly.
It's always inspirational to see top athletes, for instance,
how
they maintain that pace right through. That's what makes them a top.
Exactly.
Top any kind of sport for that
100%.
Reason, etc. The danger, though, Arjun, is if you a leader and you allow slack in the middle, it's a mind change. It can happen, a negative thing, because now you get into that frame of mind, and it may not be so easy to change it back. So must be careful of not addressing or respecting the middle part.
Yeah,
tough to be a leader, man. You're not allowed to have any middle. So you can't allow your people to. Right, we've got two more points. Let's go through them quickly. The next point that you describe authentic leadership is to change your heart, assess your real motives for leading. I kind of summarized it that way, right?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I see a lot of leaders that are in it for the wrong reasons. So for the success or the title or the power or for some insecurity that they have to influence some control over a situation or people. So for me, you know, authentic leadership is that ability to lead for the right reasons. It's not a power thing. It's not, you know, what is your purpose? When you sit down and say, why are you a leader? What really makes you tick to be a leader? And for me, it's all about the people. A leader should be about serving the people. And you don't need to be in government to be a serving leader. You can be in business. And you know, often the word serving is seen with meekness or you know, unconfident or... you know, not a strong leader, but I see it very differently. I see leaders are here to manage the resources of the business, and in most businesses, that's people. And how do we do that? And how do you do that in a respectful way? And that's why I say you've got to always keep checking your heart. You've got to make sure that you're doing this for the right reasons. When you get off and you start becoming arrogant, and without getting into many examples, just look around us in South Africa, when power gets to your head, it falls apart, leadership. So it's a checking where you're at and what the purpose is.
Check your heart, to change your heart, assess your real motives for leading. Last principle you share with us as part of the Leadership Masterclass, Authentic Leadership Masterclass, assess your anchor. That's the first piece of information that you have. It's almost, I'm not going to try and explain that, but it made a heck of a lot of sense. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so you know, for me, you know, humans are so unique, and they often say that in, you know, the first 2 minutes you create a perception of a person, whether it's good or bad or whatever it is. And what we, you know, what great leaders do is they don't, you know, create an anchor of a situation. You know, leadership is fluid in my mind. It's adaptive, and you've got to be able to see things differently, be able to take criticism and open to views. You can't be set in one way. The worst leaders I've seen are the ones that have a view and they manage like that. There is no other reason other than it's either that or it's not. And it's just the worst case of leadership, you know. You know, leadership needs to be adaptive. And I was reading Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, letter to shareholders yesterday. And he said something about a process, which I thought it was really relevant to leadership. He says, great leaders, when they look at the process and it's gone wrong, try and fix it. Weak leaders don't. And what he said was, is that does the process own you, or you own the process? So I understand that there are leadership principles and you've got to follow them, but you know, you've got to be able to adapt and change. So that just anchors that this is what leadership is. It's not. No one, I mean, I'm sure you've had hundreds of interviews and you've got hundreds of great advice. Leadership is so broad and it's so wide. It's not one BL spectrum. So that's always important for me is don't you, you're going to grow every day in this aspect. Don't set an anchor down there.
As Brett Tromp, the CFO of Discovery Health, sharing some authentic leadership principles with us. Louis, do you want to say something finally before we take a quick break for the leader interview?
Brett also mentioned the point, be careful that you don't anchor yourself too much to other people. In other words, you rely on their philosophies, etc. You must decide on your own as well. I agree 100% with him on that.
Thank you so much. That's our Leadership Master lesson with Brett Tromp. Stay tuned. We're going to have a leadership interview with him, just in general leadership. Lots to talk about there. We'll be back with you in a minute. CliffCentral.com.